My Last Duchess by Robert Browning. Ferrara. That's my last duchess, painted on the wall, looking as if she were alive. I call that piece a wonder now. Fra Pandolf's hands worked busily a day, and there she stands. Wilt please you sit and look at her? I said, Fra Pandolf by design, for never read strangers like you that pictured countenance, the depth and passion of its earnest glance. But to myself they turned, since none puts by the curtain I have drawn for you but I, and seemed as they would ask me, if they durst, how such a glance came there. So, not the first, are you to turn and ask thus. Sir, 'twas not her husband's presence only called that spot of joy into the Duchess's cheek. Perhaps Fra Pandolf chanced to say, her mantle laps over my lady's wrist too much. Or paint must never hope to reproduce the faint half flush that dies along her throat. Such stuff was courtesy, she thought, and cause enough for calling up that spot of joy. She had a heart, how shall I say, too soon made glad, too easily impressed. She liked whate'er she looked on, and her looks went everywhere. Sir, 'twas all one, my favour at her breast, the dropping of the daylight in the west, the bough of cherries some officious fool broke in the orchard for her, the white mule she rode with round the terrace. All and each would draw from her alike the approving speech, or blush, at least. She thanked men, good, but thanked somehow, I know not how, as if she ranked my gift of a 900-years-old name with anybody's gift, who stooped to blame this sort of trifling. Even had you skill in speech, which I have not, to make your will quite clear to such a one, and say, just this or that in you disgusts me, here you miss or there exceed the mark. And if she let herself be lessoned so, nor plainly set her wits to yours, forsooth, and made excuse, e'en then would be some stooping, and I choose never to stoop. Oh, sir, she smiled, no doubt, whene'er I passed her. But who passed without much the same smile? This grew. I gave commands. Then all smiles stopped together. There she stands, as if alive. Wilt please you rise? We'll meet the company below, then. I repeat, the Count your master's known munificence is ample warrant that no just pretense of mine for dowry will be disallowed, though his fair daughter's self, as I avowed, at starting is my point. Nay, we'll go together down, sir. Notice Neptune, though, taming a seahorse, thought a rarity, which Klaus of Innsbruck cast in bronze for me. So that is a celebrated poem by Robert Browning, a British poet who spent most of his adult life in Italy with his wife, the poetess Elizabeth Barrett Browning. And so this one's set in the Middle Ages. So this is a narrative poem, but in a way it's a monologue. We only get the story from one person's point of view, the Duke of Ferrara, I suppose. It's a dramatic monologue. So what's happening here is he's using enjambment and caesura a lot. But the story is, the Duke is speaking to the representative of a Count. A Count's another aristocratic title. And the Duke says, look at this portrait of the previous Duchess, Why should my last Duchess? She has since died. A portrait of a young woman who's got very beautiful skin, and there's a certain glow in her skin which suggests she's happy, excited, indeed sexually aroused. She's a very pleasant person, was nice to everyone, even the lowliest servants, was made happy too easily. But there was some flirtatious look on her. Was she coquetting with the artist, Fra Pandolf? And the Duke grew jealous. She was smiling too much. And so therefore he ordered that she be killed, and she was. That's why all smiles suddenly stopped. So we're looking at the enormous inequality between women and men. Women were mere chattels, and she was an ornament, here literally an ornament. She's become an oil painting, and she's been killed. And then he's speaking to this representative of the Count. Well, I'll marry your master's daughter, and it's a business transaction, and I'll just get an amount of money for it, saying, and my 900-year-old name is talking about, as in his family have been a distinguished aristocratic family for 900 years. So the last Duchess, she didn't sufficiently value that her husband was a very, very high status person. He's a duke, that's just below royalty. So in marrying him, she became a duchess. So she had should have been very deferential towards him, and very disdainful and distant from servants, everybody else. They're all hoi polloi compared to a duke and duchess. And he had some suspicions about her. Was she flirtatious or something like that? So Fra Pandolf was the artist, and then the painting is kept behind a curtain. The curtain, since none puts by the curtain which I have drawn for you but I, nobody else is allowed to pull that curtain to see the painting. Only the Duke himself is. So she's still controlled and hidden away. And they seemed as they would ask me if they durst, as if they dare to, how such a glance came there. They would remark upon her unusual facial expression. And so not the first are you to turn and ask thus. So everyone who sees it asks me that. Anyway, so it must be an incredibly good likeness, has really captured her facial expression and character. Sir, 'twas not her husband's presence only called that spot into the Duchess's cheek. Well, he is the her husband, the Duke, and so there's some brightness, some pinkness there. Okay, perhaps Fra Pandolf chanced to say, so maybe the artist happened to say, her mantle laps over my lady's wrist too much, as in is her sleeve is going too far down her wrist, show a bit of her lower arm, showing any flesh beyond the face was a little bit flirtatious then. Paint must never hope to reproduce the faint half flush that dies along her throat. So obviously it's somewhat erogenous zone, and that pinkness there would show that she is rather excited, and so on. It goes like that. So it's rather misogynist, it's rather biased. His last Duchess, as though he owned her. She's dehumanized, only an objet d'art. All right. So that was such was the fate of women.